Welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. Great to be with you this morning, live from our studios here, located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And, of course, this broadcast, we trust, helps you to understand a little bit more about your faith and helps you to learn about it in a more practical way. And this has been a wonderful theme this week on our broadcasts. The subject of healing, something that I think is a subject that touches all of us, because no doubt almost every one of us, I would imagine, have at some point in time or another needed healing in some area of our lives. And we'll be focusing today on the false representations of healing in the church. And we have a number of questions that we're going to address, and we hope that this program will enlighten you a little bit more about this theme and give us a deeper understanding about what the scriptures have to say about the subject of healing in the church today. Thanks so much for joining us, friends. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And, of course, you can join us for our next live broadcast that's coming up tomorrow, the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour, and we hope you'll join us then as well. We want to remind you that during the broadcast, the phone lines will remain open. You can join us and weigh in, share your thoughts with us. We'd like to know what you have to say and what your thoughts are on the subject of healing, and in particular, when there's a false representation of healing that happens or takes place in our churches today. And here are those numbers if you'd like to weigh in, maybe a question that you have or a comment that you'd like to make. 800-338-7060. Of course, that's toll-free in all of North America. And the local number, 410-483-3700. And you can, of course, share your thoughts with us on the chat. Just weigh in and share your thoughts that way as well. Comment or question, and we'll do our best to address those as well. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio today, Pastor Barry Quirk. We try to meet here regularly each and every Wednesday, yep. And I think that we've been pretty consistent about that. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, there's a blip on the radar screen, but we're glad to be back together here today. And Pastor Barry, this is I think that this is an important subject to talk about, because there's a lot of confusion in the lives and the minds of believers when it comes to healing, because there are those who are healed, and we thank God for that, and it's legitimate, and we're so grateful for the grace of God that brings that healing. And then there are those that don't experience healing, and unfortunately, they begin to become very introspective, and they find all kinds of reasons why within themselves that they didn't receive their healing. So I think it's good that we can shed some light on this subject.
Yes, that's correct, and it's good to be with you this morning, Pastor Love. You know, it's a big deal in the church today. Some churches have a big emphasis on healing, and some churches, you know, minimize the strength of the ability for God to heal today, and a lot of that's based on personality or based on individual strengths or weaknesses. And what we'd say is, first of all, so this week on the Grace Hour, we've already had on Monday, they had the theology of healing really was discussed. So we do have a little bit of a foundation that's been laid along this week. And then that was with Pastor Justin and Pastor Paul Androlonis. And yesterday, Philippe and Pastor Matt talked about cessationism versus continuism. And, you know, does the gift still happen today? Well, what we establish is that God can and does heal today, right? There's no doubt about it. We've witnessed it. We've seen it. We've seen people that he has healed today. And on the converse, there are people that God does not heal today. And the question that we're dealing with today is why? And this is really what you asked me, and I'm taking a long road to get there. But, you know, what are the reasons that people are saying we're not healed? And can they ascribe something to the healing process that gives them more power than God, in a sense? When we say, you know, a person isn't healed, well, the first one is, you know, do I lack faith, or is there sin in my life? And, you know, there's things that we'll talk about, but wouldn't that say, in essence, that your ability to have faith would be greater than God's ability to heal. Like if you lacked faith, so your lack of faith is a greater strength than God's ability to heal. It just seems like a bit of a stretch to me.
Yeah. One thought that comes to my mind is, of course, the account in John's Gospel, chapter 9, the man blind from birth.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus' disciples came to him, and they posed a theological question.
Yes.
And the premise, of course, was wrong. And the question was, you know, who sinned?
Yes.
And it's so interesting because so often you find believers that, you know, acquaint sickness with sin.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if someone is sick, especially, of course, if they're believers, there's got to be sin in their life. But that isn't always the case, is it?
It's not. And as a matter of fact, I wonder, in God's mind, sometimes if he looks at the eternal value and the glory that would come from somebody who is an example of enduring hardship and suffering in a situation. You know, you think of the Johnny Erickson Todds of the world, who amazing woman of God who was in an accident diving into the Chesapeake, and I'm sure would welcome healing. But on the other hand, you know, her in her paralysis has a ministry that's incredible. And we know many other people, Amy Carmichael and other people who have suffered and have suffered well and been incredible examples of the glory of God in their suffering. So are we God? Do we understand that, you know, God's sovereignty is what determines what brings more glory to him? And I would say that's an emphasis far more than our lack of faith or whether there's some other obstruction to God being able to heal us, you know, that God has a decision that he makes as to what brings the most glory to him.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned some of those individuals who have glorified God greatly.
Incredibly,
with
yeah.
their illness, their sickness, or their infirmity, or the calamity that has come into their lives. And even the Apostle Paul. Yeah. We don't know what his thorn in the flesh was.
Right.
It could clearly have been some physical infirmity. And he asked God 3 times to remove it, and the answer from God was no. But it didn't stop there.
Yeah.
He went on to say that my grace is going to be sufficient for
yes.
you. So if a believer is dealing with illness, sickness, or some kind of infirmity, and they approach God, and they seem to get from him that the answer is no, shouldn't they immediately turn to God and expect more grace?
Yeah. I mean, that's the principle of what you just said, is that my grace is sufficient. And by sufficiency, meaning able to keep us and sustain us and give us the satisfaction of our soul. You know, we think about healing situations in the Bible, and in Acts, the book of Acts especially, there's a lot of them. In Acts 14, Paul heals a crippled man at Lystra. Acts 16, he heals a demon-possessed woman. In Acts 19, there's many healed in Ephesus. In Acts 20, Eutychus is risen from the dead, right? So we say, okay, there's an amazing ministry of healing. But when Timothy had an upset stomach, you know, Paul said a little concoction, a little wine for the stomach to heal whatever it is that's ailing you. When Epaphroditus was sick, Paul couldn't heal him. And as you just mentioned, 3 times Paul praying for his own condition to no avail. But the end of all those things is my grace is sufficient. I have chosen to do it this way. And do we trust God enough to say that that's the case? Because I do believe, as you said, when God says my grace is sufficient, that God's grace will be sufficient.
Yeah. And of course, that whole idea, the whole thought of I'm not getting healed because I don't have enough faith, it takes your eyes off of Christ.
Yeah.
The great healer. And you place the emphasis upon yourself. And, you know, perhaps if the healing doesn't come, then you'll come to the conclusion that your faith is completely deficient and completely unacceptable before God. And that just simply is not the case.
Yeah. And when we think about the focus of faith, you know, when Jesus heals, he heals with the authority of God. Right. I mean, he He does nothing that is he doesn't receive as of his Father, and he reflects all that his Father does, and he speaks with authority, and he heals with authority. To say that somebody's lack of faith is stronger than his authority as the God of all creation, obviously it can't be, right? We can make it that, but it's just simply not the way it is. In Matthew chapter 17, the disciples come to Jesus with the boy who had been stricken, and they weren't able to heal. And he basically rebukes them and then heals, right? And says, you're lacking faith. But the faith that he's talking about there, it's not the size of the faith or the amount of faith they had. It's the object of the faith. It's who it is that is behind it. In other words, Jesus is infinite, right? He is infinite. He alone can do the impossible. It doesn't mean that we need more faith. It means that we have to have faith in Jesus. And when Jesus decides, as you said, that he's going to touch somebody, they are touched. And if Jesus decides there's a greater degree of glory to be received, then perhaps they're not.
I think we could apply that to what we read in John's gospel with Lazarus, for instance. Mm-hmm. You know, they brought it to the attention of Jesus that the one he loved was sick. And if he came immediately, there was the very real possibility, at least in their minds, that he would have been healed.
Yeah.
But Jesus hesitated. He delayed. Mm. He stayed where he was for a few more days, mm-hmm. almost as if he were waiting for Lazarus to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came. And, of course, Mary and Martha, his sister, said, oh, if you had only been here, our brother would be healed. He would be alive today. But it's just so interesting because... you know, what, as you said, what's going to give God more glory?
Yes.
The fact that he would show up on their timetable and heal Lazarus, or Lazarus dies, he's in the grave, and Christ calls him back from the dead. I mean, obviously,
yes,
that's going to bring God more glory. And go back to John's Gospel chapter 9 with a man born blind. You know, the disciples, these theological giants said, you know, who sinned? Was it him or his parents? And I think you kind of get the idea that Jesus might have looked at them and said, boy, you guys, you just don't get it, do you? Mm. It wasn't either. It wasn't his parents. It wasn't him. He was born blind so that God could be glorified. Mm. Mm. Is it possible that sickness, illness, disease, infirmity, whatever the calamity might be, has been allowed into our lives for the purpose of glorifying God?
I mean, you just gave great examples of why that is true. And, you know, we're stuck in time. We see things through a very limited lens. We see the immediate. We see the Jesus, where were you? You know, you could have healed him had you been here. And he's saying, yeah, I could have. And I could have, you know, perhaps there would have been some element of glory given. But I'm not only going to show you, you know, I'm going to do the impossible. I'm going to let him go fully dead and then raise him from the dead. And that will be the glory of God that will be revealed in a way that you could never imagine. So we are stuck in this little, you know, prism of time that we have. And we see things through, I mean, reasonably, we see things through our lenses. How does it affect me? How does it? But it is important that we're reminded of what God's purpose in a situation is. And sometimes we're stuck in an ailment, or we're stuck in a difficult situation, and the feelings are real and the results are real. And it takes thinking with God to realize that there may be a bigger purpose. And I think we can arrive there. You know, we can arrive there. Sometimes it's a little bit of a process, but I think when we see that God has a greater degree of glory in it, you know, we can be comforted by that. And, you know, just to go backwards a second here, Pastor Love, of course, one of the big questionable verses, or the verse that people use to raise question about the whole healing process, is in Isaiah 53. Yeah. And that was addressed on the Monday broadcast. We don't have to go deep into it, but a couple points that I thought were really relevant to this situation is, first of all, the emphasis on by his stripes we are healed. You know, we can think of that as the reason why there should be no physical ailments in the world today. You know, we are healed, and if we truly had his faith, then we would be healed. Well, first of all, if it was God who's behind the healing, and God is infinitely good, wouldn't he just heal everybody? Why would there be any ailment, right? If there was no reason for the ailment, if it was dealt with by his stripes, then everybody would be automatically healed. But there's a spiritual death that was healed, right? There was a spiritual ailment. There was a separation from God that salvation was addressed. And here's the thing I think we miss sometimes. We're so caught up in, can God heal somebody physically today, that we forget the bigger point. And the bigger point is, without spiritual healing, without life after death, you know, like life being eternal, we've missed the whole point. What's the sense of having a physical healing? As a matter of fact, I would say, well, why was the physical healing even carried out? Well, it was carried out that the glory of God might be revealed, and that somebody would say, I need to know that God personally and have a touch from my soul, which would be the ultimate healing, which would be the healing over death.
Yeah. And of course, that reference so often in Isaiah 53 is the healing in the atonement.
Yeah.
In other words, these believers will acknowledge the atoning work of Christ on the cross, their sins, their forgiveness, their sanctification, but they also want to include that all sickness, all disease is included in that, which is simply not the case.
Yes.
As you pointed out, I mean, God could have healed everyone. You know, I look back in my own experience, and again, this is just from my experience, but I remember when our oldest daughter was born, she came into this world with some very serious complications at birth. Doctors immediately told us that she might not live. And I remember actually being escorted out of where my wife gave birth to our daughter. This is over 40 years ago. And the promise, the verse that came to my mind is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. And I'll read it. It says in verse 40, there came a leper to Jesus, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. My prayer at birth, our oldest daughter was, Lord, if you will, I know you can heal her. I wasn't saying you have to heal her.
Yes.
Or I know that there'll be something terribly wrong with my faith if you don't heal her. I just said, if you will, you can. I know you can. It's a question of, what is your will?
Yes.
Now, some have taken this passage and said, don't take the position of the leper, which was unbelief. Take the position of Christ, which was, I will. Well, I mean, from our limited perspective, it just makes sense to me that, I mean, I think this leper did have great faith in Christ and said, if you are willing to, you can heal me. I know you can heal me.
Yeah.
Are you willing to?
Yeah.
And if God chooses not to under those circumstances, then we must believe that he's going to do something even greater.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the case of our daughter, the healing did come over time.
Yes.
You know, 6 months in a hospital, more surgery necessary. It was a very complicated birth.
Mm.
But over time, yeah, God did heal.
Mm.
But it didn't happen immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
So God actually used it to strengthen our trust and our faith in who he was. And we were growing in our faith during that whole process.
So you might say there was two healings that were taking place.
Yeah.
Right? There was the physical healing, and then there's the healing of our relationship with God.
Yes.
That we're growing in a trust and seeing that God, the hand of God delivers in a way that he knows. And this is what I mean about being stuck in our little temporal bubble, is that, you know, very often we can only see how it affects the immediate. But we don't get to see how the big picture is. And we've had some tragedies here in our ministry, some young people that have gone home to be with the Lord. I'm thinking about an accident that happened some years ago where we lost two of our several precious young people. And, you know, that's unimaginable, like the pain and the suffering and the parents and the challenges and the troubles. And we think, oh, my goodness, how could we ever, you know, ever recover from that? But the work of God was so incredible during those times. And I know that the healing that took place in some lives, you know, in eternity, when we get there and we get to talk to those precious men and just, you know, just thinking about what a glorious reunion that will be, but also when they say, you know, was it worth it? Was it worth it that your life went, you went home to be with the Lord early, but all these people were affected for the gospel and people's lives were rededicated and turned around and some were won to Christ. And I'm certain that they're going to say, yes, yes, it's an eternal way to glory versus something temporal.
Amen. Yeah. Well, friends, you can join us. As we said at the outset of the broadcast, the phone lines are open. And all you need to do is pick up a phone and dial one of these numbers, 800-338-7060, and locally, 410-483-3700. And you can ask your question, share your comment with us, or you can go to the chat and you can communicate with us that way as well. But, you know, someone I read in a particular ministry wrote that, you know, sick believers don't need to remain sick. And they make reference to Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. You know, none of these diseases which have come upon the Egyptians shall come upon my people. But, I mean, that was very specifically spoken to a very specific group of people, the nation of Israel, God's people, while in captivity in Egypt. So to be able to take that and say, you know, what God said to Israel in the Old Testament, he also says to you and I today in the New Testament. Can we do that? Or would we be making a great mistake by suggesting that we'll never be a partaker of any sickness, illness, or diseases that we see happening in the lives of unbelievers?
Well, we know that when sin entered the world, the process of death started, right? So we could say the fact that we die physically on earth is the result of sin, and it's the result of a sickness. And if that were the case, what you just read being a general statement rather than a specific, then our healing ought to take care of that sin, and we ought to have eternal life right here and never have to go into the ground. But we know that's not the way that God chose to do things. And, you know, the thing that I'm reminded of as you read that, Pastor Love, is that God's methods aren't our methods. And so he can speak very specifically to that group of people and say, you are not going to experience any of these things. The apostles were given very specific offices, and in those offices there was healing, and there was, you know, an apostolic experience that they were eyewitnesses to the presence of God and were very much given in their offices authority. You know, we know that that was a specific office for a specific time, and now God has the full counsel of God, and he has people who are, you know, very much experienced the gifts that God gave to us. And this is why we're saying, you know, the sovereignty of God says that he can heal when he wants, how he wants, where he wants. Right. And it's not up to us to determine whether that's, you know, is this something that we should be experiencing all the time and we just lack faith so we don't? Or, you know, no, it's God's sovereignty. God decided to do that. Now, at the same time, what does he require of us, or what would he like of us? He would like us to have faith. He'd like us to come and believe. But I really like what you said that, yeah, if you will, God, if you will. You know, because I believe that if it is your will, that I will be healed. And I also believe equally with the same conviction that if it's not your will, you have some more important eternal weight of glory to reveal, and I'm okay with that. Would I like to be healed? Absolutely. I would love to be. But it's up to the sovereignty of God to determine whether that happens or not, not my lack of faith. My lack of faith is not that powerful that it can equal the sovereignty of God.
Great point. And to be able to trust God and his providence and his sovereignty is so crucial because, again, you know, you have people that say, well, when Jesus was here on the earth, you know, he healed everyone, he healed every sickness, he healed every disease. I mean, that's simply not true.
Right.
There are instances in the scripture where when he met people, he would heal them and deliver them. But did he deliver every single person while he was here during his earthly ministry? The answer is no. Did he heal every sickness? Yeah. No, he didn't.
Nope.
He didn't. So again, to try to make that case, for instance, Psalm 103, verse 3 says, you know, God is the one who forgives us of all of our iniquities, heals all of our diseases. Mm. Again, people are going to take that verse and they want to build a doctrine around that verse, mm-hmm. right? And that you can't do that.
No.
You just can't do that.
No, you can't. And as a matter of fact, or we could say, well, he has healed all our diseases. What disease has the power to keep me separated from God, both here and in eternity? You know, ultimately, if the goal of God was to come in Luke 19:10, to seek and to save that which was lost, right? That's why Jesus came to the earth, to seek and to save that which was lost. Did he have a healing ministry? Absolutely. Was it his only ministry? No. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Along the way, some were healed, and that revealed the opportunity for people to get drawn to Christ so that he could fulfill his purpose to seek and to save that which is lost. You know, making a doctrine out of something that becomes bigger than God's entire purpose, the finished work of Jesus Christ to come and to seek and to save that which was lost, that's an error. That's a big mistake. And we could take any verse out of context and say, you know, that there's this is what God's mind is for everything. But this is why we study the Bible. This is why we learn to rightly divide the word of truth. And we, you know, as long as we have been in the ministry and studying the word, every time I open it up, it's brand new and I'm looking at it fresh. And we are studying, you know, what is God really trying to say here? What's God's mind here? Or maybe we had a thought that we thought we knew what God's mind was in time and experience, and careful study of the word has showed us, boy, we didn't know that like we ought to. But isn't that the beauty of getting to know God, is that day after day we get to know what he's really, his real purpose is. But I think you're right. There can be a focus on something that would take us away from the real focus. And that can manifest itself in a lot of ways, you know, through improper doctrine, through lack of understanding why God would or wouldn't heal. Mm. And, you know, we've talked a lot about that in the previous shows also, as well as earlier in the broadcast. But I think, again, it points to God, if it's your desire, I want to live in your desire. For my life today, I want to live in your desire. To experience your healing, I would love it. It'll bring glory to you. Then let's bring it.
Yeah. And I know that when we hear of brothers and sisters in Christ that are sick or ill, I mean, our first thought is to pray
yes.
for healing.
Yeah.
It's to turn to God and ask him, out of your love, out of your compassion, and in your mercy, would you touch and heal these people? And sometimes, you know, we can honestly say those prayers are answered.
Yes.
And God will bring the healing. In other instances, they are not answered.
Yeah.
But it develops that, as you said, that faith and that trust that we, you know, God knows more than we know. He's infinitely more wise than we will ever be.
Yes.
And we just simply trust him regardless of what might happen. I think it goes back to a question of understanding the character and the nature of God.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if God does not heal, if God does not deliver, are we to question his character, or are we grounded in the truth of the scriptures regarding the character of God, which says he is good, he is kind, he is gracious, he is merciful, and then we reckon on that to be true,
mm-hmm.
and we factor that into our overall understanding of what's happening in our lives or in the lives of others that we're praying for.
Yeah, and some would even say, if God's not healing, well, then his character is not good, right? And this is, again, why we're saying we're distracted. If we don't understand what's really happening in the bigger picture, then we're going to get stuck in minutia that's not, first of all, it's not true. God is good, right? All the time. When I'm sick, when I'm healthy, God is good and God's purpose is bigger. I just think, like, as a parent, you know, your child asks you for something as a parent. I would like this, give me this, give me this. And you're saying to them, I could give you that, but I have something so much better in store for you. And your answer is no, I don't want you to have that. Well, why don't you want me to have that? What did I do wrong? Have I been misbehaving? Is there something I did? No, it has nothing to do with their behavior. Their understanding of the situation may be that. They may even go into their room and sulk and think, I did something wrong and I don't even know what it was and this isn't fair. And but the real picture is, if I gave them that, they would not have the opportunity to experience the bigger picture, which is I have something I've already picked out for them that's going to be above and beyond what they could ever imagine. And God's waiting to anxiously, you know, his fellowship for us is that he loves to pour out his blessing to us. And this, we don't want to lose in this. Like, we don't want to say that, you know, guys, don't bother praying, or it's just the sovereignty of God, and it's, if it's his will, he'll get healed, and if it's not. No, I really think that, and Pastor Stevens used to talk about faith fields. You know, that's, we come into a service, we're stirred up in our faith, because when we learn the character and nature of God, we also learn that God could heal in a way that's going to empower us to be, in our ministry, so much more valuable. There are many ways that God wants to pour out, and we don't want to lose that. You know, sometimes we have not because we ask not. Sometimes we have not because we ask amiss.
That's right.
You know, if I'm asking for a personal healing, and I'm a person who's very dependent upon God, you know, if you could imagine, and with each healing that we see in the Bible, we generally don't see a healing where God says, you know, you were lame from the time of your birth, now you're healed. And the guy goes, all right, and he runs off to the disco. You know, like, he runs into the temple. You know, the thankfulness of the leper who is healed, who goes back to Jesus and says, you know, thank you, you've healed me. The ability for people to get healed so that they get to know that character and nature of God is really what it's all about. And God has many ways of doing that, and I'm not qualified to understand all those ways. But, you know, I might make an evaluation that's incorrect. I might see something in a very short-sighted way that God has an eternal wait waiting to happen.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, that healing, it can be a process too. It may not, that might not happen instantaneously. Yeah. And you pointed out the case of the 10 lepers in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. What's interesting there is that, you know, they cried out to Jesus and they asked him to have mercy upon them. And when Jesus saw them, he said, I want you to go and show yourselves to the priest, which, of course, under the laws of the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus, was something that they had to do in order to be declared clean and to re-enter society. So then the scripture says, and as they went, they were healed.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, it's not out of the question that God wants to see us take that simple step of faith, and that process, whether it's a process or it's immediate, of the healing can take place in our lives. Yes. And it literally says, as they went. I mean, practically speaking, when I've had some issues and some concerns or some questions, you know, what I find myself doing is I go to church.
Yeah.
I just go to church. And as I go, my healing comes, right?
Amen.
I mean, you know, sometimes that's what Christ is looking for.
Yeah.
And then, of course, out of those 10 lepers, only one returned with gratitude. And we marvel because Jesus is looking. He's the one that asked the question, where are the other nine?
Yeah.
Where are they?
Yeah.
Only this one. And, of course, it was a Samaritan. You know, someone outside of the nation of Israel, considered to be a loser in society, he's the one that returns to give glory to God and to thank him. So, again, maybe sometimes, you know, God is saying, you know what, your healing might not be immediately. It might not happen when you think it's going to happen. Much like Abraham, you're going to have a child, and, you know, out of that child will become, you know, more children than the number of the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. But that didn't happen immediately either.
No, it didn't. Our ways are not always his ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, thank God that he is so much smarter than we will ever be. And he sees things in the bigger picture. But, you know, our relationship with him is something that's vital. Can we grow in our relationship with him and trust him? One of the questions that came up on the chat, you know, spoke about medication. You know, do people need to take medicine? There is a whole segment of Christianity that believes, you know, you don't need doctors, you don't need medication, you just need faith. I think God gave us medication and doctors to address some issues that allow us to operate in his will, and his provision for us may involve those things. It's not a lack of faith to go to a medical doctor and have something physical diagnosed and to use the medication that has been given to us. Now, the other side of that is that that's not always, you know, medication isn't always the answer. Like, I have anxiety. Anxiety is a real thing. I'm not saying that it isn't. And there is the need for, in some cases, for medication for anxiety. But also, isn't there an awesome opportunity to go to the Father and to say, would you help me with this anxiety? Would you take it away from me? Can I get to know your provision? You know, what is your provision in this? And have we seen people who have been healed instantly from drugs or alcoholism, you know, these horrible addictions that can plague people's souls for eons, you know, that God has been so gracious that in points in time he has taken it away from people who said, would you, Lord? Would you, Lord? I believe you can. Would you? I want to operate in faith. And here's God saying, okay, so this person wants to pour out their life to me. Why wouldn't I want to bless them and heal them so that they could pour out their life?
Yeah. It is interesting to those that are proclaiming and preaching a message that everyone, every believer's, you know, body is to be healed. There's no such thing as sickness in the life of the believer. I mean, we're living in bodies of sin and death. Mm-hmm. It's the corruption of the nature of what it means to live in a sinful world. It's, I mean, we're not meant to live here forever. And of course, what about those individuals, those believers who teach and preach about healing and the atonement? I mean, they themselves become victims of sickness and illness, which kind of undermines their whole biblical premise, which is really kind of sad because nobody is going to get through this life without being impacted by the effects of the old sin nature and a broken and sinful world that we live in.
Yeah. Very few have walked with God and been no more.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Very few.
Yeah. And even then, even those people, there's no indication that they weren't experiencing sickness or illness.
Yeah, we don't know. And I'm just thinking, like, even at the end of it all, you know, like the discussion could be, well, you know, we could live without sickness and without it. Well, at some point, your physical body gives up. And as far as I know, it gives up because of decay or because of mileage or whatever it is, like a car. You know, at some point, it stops running. The ability for the heart to pump the blood ceases, right? At the end of the day, everybody dies from a failed heart. Whether That's right. all those other things contributed to it or not, there's something that finally stops your heart from beating. And, you know, could we say that, you know, if everybody, if that doctrine was true, that by his stripes we are healed and the atonement caused all of a cessation of all of our sin nature and all of our sickness and all those things. Well, there's a lot of people who are dying today and they're all dying in some form of decay. Did God preserve somebody's life? Did God heal somebody's life? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I don't think we can get stuck in that rut of thinking that it's this way or no way.
Yeah. Amen. Still time for you to give us a call if you'd like. 800-338-7060 and locally 410-483-3700. One of our listeners have written in and said, can you talk about thorns and healing? Mm-hmm. Pardon me. And I think that's a reference to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 about the thorn in his flesh, which we do not know what it was and how grateful we are for that.
Yes.
Because if his thorn was identified, then only some people would find comfort from what he wrote here to the Corinthians in his second letter. But now, because we don't know the nature of that thorn, all of us can be comforted.
Yes.
And we can actually bring God glory and say, like the Apostle Paul said, I can take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And it just gives God an opportunity for us to glory in our infirmities so that the power of Christ may rest upon us.
That's a fantastic point. And I wonder if I would have judged Paul if I knew what his infirmity was. I wonder if I would have said, oh, you know, that person. What's amazing is that we can be very legalistic on ourselves, right? Or we could be the opposite. But we could be very legalistic on ourselves and look around and compare ourselves to other people and say, they can't possibly have the problems that I have, you know? I've been inside my mind. You've never been inside my mind. You know, my mind is possible, capable of all kinds of corruption. And well, we all are. Every single one of us is subject to the same like passions. We've just learned to not live in those decisions, those passions. You know, we make good decisions. And the decision is, would we entertain what God has for us over entertaining something that's going to be very temporary and perish? And you did address earlier in the show, and to answer that, you know, the thorn issue, is that the answer, God, we ask God, would you take it away? Would you take it away? Would you take it away? And in the end, God says, I would like for you to experience something called my grace, and my grace will be sufficient for you. And it will be your provision. It will be the comfort that you need to get through the situation. And at the end of the day, we don't know what effect that Paul's thorn had on other people. Again, maybe somebody said, wow, there's a guy who by sight had a reason to say, I'm not walking with God. Look, I suffer all the time. But he said, I'm going to follow God. I am going to trust God and remain faithful right to the end. And that's an amazing testimony that's given. We don't know, right? We don't know all the answers to that. Mm.
And I think that, as you said earlier in the broadcast too, that God, you know, he puts the more important needs that from his perspective ahead of what we feel are our most important needs. Mm. In other words, if he healed all of our illnesses and healed all of our diseases but left us in an unregenerated state, and we were still in our sin, then we would perish healthy, but we would lose our souls.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. He addresses the more important. It's kind of like when they brought a man to Jesus and you know, he healed him, and he said these words, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And then, of course, all the critics marveled and said, you can't, you know, only God can heal.
Yes.
He said, well, what's easier for me to do? To say, take up your bed and walk, or your sins are forgiven. In other words, Jesus knew that the man needed mercy more than he needed muscles.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in his mercy, he gave him muscles as well.
Yes.
So it's just the goodness of God. God knows what he's doing. I think to kind of wrap things up, here today in the broadcast, it's like we just don't want to put God in a box. Mm-hmm. This is what some Christians and some pastors and some theologians would like to do. Put him in a box. That way we can determine what he's going to do and we can control what he does. But we just can't do that with God.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, it's not our lack of faith that keeps us from being healed. When we believe that God has the best for us, then we know whatever situation we end up in is the best for us, and that his mercy is going to be there and his grace is going to be sufficient for us. It's not a lack of it's not our sin that causes us to be, you know, were we blind because we sinned, as you said earlier in John chapter 9. Nope, it's not an issue of sin. Imagine if all of our children and our children's children had to pay the consequences for all our sins, what we would all look like. Mm. I mean, physically, we couldn't bear, you know, all of that. You know, even just our appearance would be horrific and everything about us would be horrific. That's not the way God has chosen to deal with us. He's given the authority to heal. Mm. The authority to heal comes from God, from us getting to know. You know, the question God asked, and I know we're wrapping up, but the question God asked about who's given authority to heal? Well, God's given authority to heal.
That's right.
Right? And and God chooses to heal in his grace and in his mercy, and we're willing to receive it.
Yeah. And some people just don't have this capacity to fathom sickness for the glory of God. Yes, even sickness can bring God great glory. So if you have it and you've asked God to take it, but it hasn't happened, well, expect and be looking for God's grace. Mm. Pastor Barry, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for
friends, thank you for being with us today. We want to remind you that, of course, coming up on tomorrow's Grace Hour broadcast, we'll continue to cover this theme and subject of healing in the church today. Thanks so much for joining us. Until tomorrow, may God bless you.